today is the 26th day, which is 3 weeks and 5 days of the Omer. Now, what would you expect me to say immediately after that? Harachaman, hu yachazer lano medas beis mekdesh m'kayma b'mehir v'yameinu. That's the automatic response that we have after Sfiras HaOmer. Why in the world? This is the midst of Sfiras HaOmer. And then we follow with the tefillah. Of course, our mouths are always full of tefillahs that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt and the Avodah should be restored. But what does it have to do with the Sfiras, the midst of Sfiras HaOmer in particular? So the answer, hopefully, is well known to many of you. Taisus and Megillah points out that it's because the midst of Sfiras HaOmer that we have nowadays is really only a pale shadow of the original midst of Sfiras HaOmer. The real midst of Sfiras HaOmer is dependent on the Avodas Beit HaMikdash. When the Avodas Beit HaMikdash is absent, there is no Mitzvah Deiraisa of Sfiras HaOmer. In particular, which part of the Avodas Beit HaMikdash? The mitzvah of bringing the Karban HaOmer. HaOmer is, after all, a Karban, a Minchas HaOmer. And the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is associated with the bringing of the Karban HaOmer. In the absence of the Karban HaOmer, there is no Mitzvah Deiraisa. The reason why we continue it nowadays, the Gemara Menachah says, is because Zecher LeMikdash, they did it in the times of the Mikdash. We do it nowadays also. And so Taisus says, so we complete our Sfiras HaOmer with that tefillah that the mitzvah should be one day restored to its original state as a mitzvah deraisa. So with the Harzaras Avodas Beit HaMikdash L'mkayma B'mehir V'yameinu Amen Sela. Why in the world is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer connected so closely with the Karban HaOmer? We'd like to think that we all understand the inyan of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is about Avas HaTorah. Like the Sefer HaChinuch describes, some of you heard me say it over a couple weeks ago, we read together from the Sefer HaChinuch, the first day of the Zman, that when a person really, really looks forward to something, when a person really, really values something, when a person recognizes that something is the most important thing in his life, so he counts to the moment. And of course, the classic example that we all relate to is the way that a chassan counts to the day of his chassana, or the way that a senior counts to the moment of his graduation or to his last final. And so Sfiras HaOmer is, we're counting to the day, the Sefer HaChinuch says, we went out of Mitzrayim, but the whole purpose of our Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get to Tavdinus HaLakim HaSahar HaZeh, was to get to Ma'an Teir, Kol Ma'avayenu V'chafzeinu, all of our desire, what we aspire for is Kabbalah Tateris. So we count the days till the Yom Zman Matan Teresinu on Shavuos. What does that have to do with the Karban Mincha of Minchas HaOmer that was brought? And that should be a universal mitzvah, a perpetual mitzvah. Nowadays, the idea of Avas HaTorah and recognizing the centrality of the Torah is no less important nowadays than it once was. Why is the Karban HaOmer such an important part of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer that absent the Karban HaOmer, there is no more mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer? To understand this connection, we probably need to understand two things a little better. One, we might need to understand a little better what the Karban HaOmer was. And the other, we might need to understand a little better what the Torah is. So, starting with the Karban HaOmer, that's probably less familiar to most of us. The Karban HaOmer was a Karban Mincha. A Karban Mincha means a bread Karban. And there were bread karbanot that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash every day. And 99% of Karban Minchas followed more or less the same rule. It had to be brought from wheat, and that wheat had to be unleavened. In other words, matzah. In the Beis HaMikdash, they were kashrut Pesach all year long. All the karbanot HaOmer that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, all the karbanot Mincha that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash were brought from wheat, and were brought from unleavened wheat, from matzah. Matzah looked different, but it was technically matzah. The Karban HaOmer was an important exception. And the Karban HaOmer is one of only two karbanos that was not brought from wheat, it was brought from barley. What's the significance of that it's brought from barley rather than wheat? Why should all the post-Pesach guys be coming together to learn about the details of kutchim and the which kind of grain we use for this carbon or that carbon? Well, The difference between wheat and barley in the eyes of Chazal is that wheat is animal food. I'm sorry, that wheat is people food, man food, and barley is animal food. I said that this is one of only two karbanos that came from barley. The other one is a minchas seita. And over there, the Rashi in Parshas Nasai says over there, there's no secret as to why she's bringing karban mincha made out of barley, because he, asasa maisa behema, she engaged in behema-like activities, so we bring that home to her by telling her to bring a behema-like karban. But then we all bring the tzibur as a whole brings that behema-like karban the day after Pesach, the day after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Minchas HaOmer. If all of the karbanos are meant to convey some kind of symbolism, some kind of image that we're supposed to present to our heads, so, right? Mefarshim talk about how every time a person brings a karban, it's supposed to be some sort of a performance. We talked about this also some of us earlier in this man, how it's supposed to bring some ideas, some images to our mind. So the image that the karban HaOmer is supposed to bring to our mind is that of a donkey sticking his head into a trough and eating his food. But it's our karban. It's not a sight to say, oh, she did it. It's our karban. It's supposed to bring to our minds the image of us, our heads attached to a donkey's body, sticking our heads or our body with a donkey head on it maybe, sticking our head into the trough and gobbling up animal food. That's the image that the karban HaOmer is supposed to suggest. Now the Karban HaOmer, one more moment on Kutchim, then we'll come to Torah. One more, there's another Karban Mincha that the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is associated with, and that's the Shtei HaLechem. The Shtei HaLechem is brought on Shavuos. On Shavuos, that's actually, if you follow the Torah, what it says in the Torah, the Mitzvah HaYoim of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the other Yom Tovim, you know, every Yom Tov has its Mitzvah HaYoim, there's fasting on Yom Kippur and Shefer and Hashanah, there's the Lulav and the Sukkah and on Sukkot, and there's the Matzah on Pesach. What's the Mitzvah HaYoim on Shavuos? Assuming that cheesecake is only Durabanan. Assuming that staying up all night learning, that's only Durabanan. So what's the Mitzvah HaYoim? The way the Torah describes it is Ovyayim HaBikurim, Ovyayim HaViyachem, the Mitzvah of Shtei HaLechem, a special Karban Mincha, two loaves of bread. That's the Mitzvah HaYoim. It was only done in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have it nowadays. We don't have a Mitzvah HaYoim nowadays. We've invented others. We, Chazal, Kal Yisrael, have invented others. But Midrash, the Mitzvah HaYoim, we don't have nowadays. But the Mitzvah HaYoim was the Shtei HaLechem. That was the Karban Mincha too, but that was also a unique Karban Mincha. I mentioned before that every Karban Mincha had two characteristics. It was wheat, and it was unleavened wheat. The Karban HaOmer was an exception that it wasn't wheat, it was barley. The Shtei HaLechem was an exception in that it wasn't unleavened, it was chametz. Each one is part of a pair of exceptions. It's one of the only two karbanos that were ever brought in the Beis HaMikdash that were chametz. Chametz, what's the difference between chametz and matzah? Matzah is plain. It's nothing there, just the flour and the water without any kind of chemical reaction that enhanced it, right, to make it rise, to make it leaven, to make it ferment. It's just the very basic raw ingredients, and leavened bread, what that represents, what chametz represents, is a little bit of luxury, a little bit of enhancement, a more upper class experience of bread. If there's an image that the carbon of the Shtei HaLechem is supposed to bring to our minds, it's the image of being seated at a banquet table with a butler standing on your left with a towel over his arm and a bottle of wine in his hand, and a waiter standing on your right with a platter and a silver whatever it's called, lid on top of it, putting it down here, sir, you know, and taking off the lid, and the steaming hot plate is there in front of you, and the butler standing on your other side and saying, would you like white or red, dry or sweet? You're being served like that very luxuriously and opulently. That's the image of the Shtei HaLechem. It's not matzah anymore, it's chametz. Today, right, the Torah says on Shavuos, we're upper class. Those are the two karbanos, with the two images that are the bookends of the Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, now we learned a little bit about karbanos. Let's learn a little bit about the Torah. We say a bracha every day on the Torah. Not that what we call Birchas HaTorah, we say that too, of course. But there's another bracha that we say. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph says that if a person forgot Birchas HaTorah, if he already finished davening, he doesn't have to say Birchas HaTorah anymore, because he was yotzei with the bracha of Ava Rabba, or Avas Olam. If you daven Nusach Svar, it's Avas Olam. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, Ava Rabba. That bracha says, Ava Rabba, Avtanu Hashem Alekeinu, Chemla Gedoyla Chamalta Aleinu. And then it goes on to say, because you gave us Chemla Gedoyla Chamalta Aleinu, you took special interest in our fathers and in our forefathers, and you gave to them a special gift, V'hayar Einenu, and we dive into Hashem that He should help us to enjoy, to experience that gift. So it's a bracha about the Torah. And the way that we introduce that gift is by describing two feelings, two sentiments, Ahava, love, and Chemla, compassion. Ahava and Chemla. Ahava and Chemla, they're maybe similar a little bit in that both of them are thought of as positive traits, not negative traits, but they're really quite, quite different. I would almost say that they're opposites. In the sense that when it comes to gift giving, a gift that's motivated by love is the opposite of a gift that's motivated by compassion. Let's imagine two gift giving scenarios. One, at your Pesach Seder, you're in the middle of negotiations with your child who's just who's returning the Afikoman. Okay, he's returning the Afikoman. It's not okay. You want to show, let's do it nicely and correctly. You have some fun with your child. He brings you back the Afikoman and you say you've been such a good boy. You're doing the mitzvah of the Seder so beautifully. I want to buy you a present. That's one scenario. Okay, so let's consider that scenario. So he says, so what would you like? So he might say something like, can I have, you know, all my socks have holes in them. I really need new socks. He might say that, but that would be very unusual. More typically, he might say something like, now I wrote this down because otherwise I wouldn't have remembered it. But anybody here know what the VJI Mavic Pro is? You do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pro. Yeah, it's a top of the line drone. I guess it's probably not really, really the top. But it's a $1,500 drone. 24 high-performance computing cores. That is your son talking at the Seder. The VJI Mavic Pro. 24 high-performance computing cores. 5 vision sensors. A 4K camera stabilized by a 3-axis mechanical gimbal. Or is it a gimbal?
Gimbal,
thank you. Okay. okay, that's what your son might ask for at the Seder. Now, just as an aside, if you become a Rebbe, your son's not going to ask that for the Afikoman present. So that, you know, different occupations have different hazards. But that would be one reasonable thing for some children to ask for an Afikoman present. Okay, now let's imagine a different gift-giving scenario. You're eating supper one night, and there's a knock on the door. Who is it? And you hear from outside, Ayid from Yushalayim. Come to the door. And, you know, he looks the part, and he shows you two da from the Baruch Hashem Queens, and also from his local Rav in Bnei Brak. And you say, so, you know, and he looks like he's been schlepping around from door to door for hours and hours, and, you know, you say, can I have you something to eat, can I have you something to drink, maybe use the bathroom, and then, how can I help you? So he says, you know what I really need? A VJI Mavic Pro, 24 high-performance computing cores, 5 vision sensors, a 4K camera stabilized by 3-axis mechanical
gimbal,
and I can't afford it. I have a note from my Robin Bnei Brak that I really can't afford it, and I was so dearly like $1,500. Maybe you could cover half. Now, naturally, you would not be moved to help that person out. Even though, when your son asked for it at the Seder, he would it really touched you, and you said, sure, I'm so proud of you, and I would love to buy you that. And you really would love to buy him that. But for this guy at your door, even though he looks genuine, and he looks, you know, like life is hard for him, but you're not moved to buy him the VJI Mavic Pro. If on the other hand you would say, you know, my children have their sock, all their socks have holes, and I can't buy them any more socks because it's just no more money. And so then, you know, you might very well take out your checkbook, and if you're able, you know, and if you feel so inclined, there's a chemla would motivate a person to give a gift of necessities for somebody that really needs them. Ava would motivate someone to give a gift of luxury, of enhancing life, of making someone feel special and wonderful. The Ava doesn't motivate the gift of the necessities, and the Chemla certainly doesn't motivate the gift of luxuries. And yet we begin this bracha, Ava Rava Havtanu, Chemla Gedoyla Chamalta Aleinu, and as a result, Vatalamdim Chukei Chayim, and therefore you gave our nation, our forefathers, the Torah. What the bracha means to be conveying is that the Torah is not like the socks, and it's not like the drone. It's both of them together. What it means is that just like somebody who doesn't have socks, we relate to as lacking the bare necessities, he's a nevach. So without the Torah, we feel like we're lacking the bare necessities. We are a nevach. And when we see somebody that has the grip, again, if we're talking about kids, great toys, coolest gadgets, and if we're talking about bigger kids like us, fancy cars, nice houses, so we say that he has luxuries, he has the things that make life, you know, that put him in the upper class of society. So when we think of the Torah also, and the gift of the Torah, we think of that as something that puts us in the upper class of society, that it makes us not just have the, without it, we're missing the necessities, but with it, it doesn't just provide us with the necessities, but it raises us above all the other nations of the world. It gives us a gift that's so valuable that nobody else, others can only dream of, and yet we, you know, it's not a drone, and it's not a bottle of wine. It's something that you have to be more sophisticated to appreciate. But the gift of the Torah is one that is supposed to make us recognize how fortunate we are that we have this link to the Bayrei Olam. You know, the Bayrei Olam created all the Umos HaOlam. But we are the only ones that actually have an inside track to the Dvar Hashem. We have something so special and magnificent that other people, you know, like the 99% spend their days dreaming about the luxuries of the 1%. So the Umos HaOlam should be dreaming like that about us. And yet, when we don't have it, so, and this might be particularly true of the Jewish people, that a Yid without the Torah is not like the Umos HaOlam without the Torah. The Umos HaOlam without the Torah, they're missing that which makes life, you know, really, really fantastic, but they can get along just fine. They're not missing their necessities without the Torah. They're Mekayim, they're Tafkid in the world without the Torah. But Bnei Yisrael without the Torah is not Mekayim, they're Tafkid in the world. Bnei Yisrael without the Torah doesn't have socks. Bnei Yisrael without the Torah are lower than the Umos HaOlam. The Sviras HaOmer begins with a korban that's supposed to give us an image of our body with a donkey's head, sticking our nose into a trough of barley, meaning what's the symbolism there? That Bnei Yisrael, they came out. It's a 49-day process from Yitzis Mitzrayim to Kabbalah Satayra. And the message number one is, you came out of Mitzrayim yesterday, Mimachras, right? This is the day after Yitzis Mitzrayim. You came out of Mitzrayim yesterday. All other Umos HaOlam, that's the way they define nationhood, right? When you throw off the yoke of an outsider, right? We're all familiar with countries that celebrate the day that they won their independence from the British, We won our independence from the British, and now we are an independent nation. We're our own country. That's our Independence Day. Bnei Yisrael have a yontif with a ceremony that demonstrates that having won our independence from the Egyptians brought us to the point of being like we have the freedom to stick our snout into the trough. Meaning, yeah, we're free, but that didn't get us. That didn't make us into a very terribly enviable situation. It got us started on a process. And the end of that process, meaning when after we finish counting the 49 days and we reach the end of Shavuos, then we come to that banquet where we're waited on by the waiter and the butler. We feel like we've reached the top of the world. We have our drone to fly. We have our fancy cars. But in the Olam HaRuchni, we have the Torah, the Sfiras HaOmer, the symbolism of the Sfiras HaOmer demonstrates that both of these aspects are contained. It's a before and after snapshot. And the snapshot of Bnei Yisrael without the Torah is that they're still on the level of Machal Behema, and the Bnei Yisrael with the Torah become on the level of not only Michael Bnei Adam, but the only time that you bring Chametz, meaning the enhanced, the luxurious, opulent, levels, the upper class levels of Machal Bnei Adam. And nowadays we don't have it. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is Rabbanan. I mean, Sfiras HaOmer, yeah, it's a way of expressing our Ava for Hashem, for the Torah, but the mitzvah in particular is to, the Sfira is to bridge to create a bridge between these two images, so that we should have the two of them in our minds together, so that we should be able to study the contrast. That's what the whole mitzvah is about. And nowadays we don't have the images, so the mitzvah becomes only the Rabbanim. But Lamaisa, but the Rabbanim knew what they were talking about. The Rabbanim had a good idea that even though we don't have the images, and therefore the mitzvah that Terry gave of connecting this image to that image, we don't have that mitzvah anymore. Midrash, but the Rabbanim said, but you know, it's not such a bad idea to keep on doing it because we can maintain the image. We could look at the Pesukim in the Chumash and get a sense of what it once looked like. We could maybe, you know, have a speaker come and you know, graphically describe the image, and then we do have the image. And then we know what we're doing by Sfiras HaOmer. We're trying to remind ourselves each day, we're trying to progress each day from the point of Michael Behema to the point of the Shtei Alechem of Chametz. As we, you know, as we go through, you know, we have this Avodah during the Sfiras HaOmer, this daily reminder about the twofold Chashivas of Torah, about its being such a necessity, and what it could offer us, how it, you know, brings us higher and closer. As we go through that, we should, it's helpful, I think, to keep these images in mind. We you know, have challenges and obstacles that come up on a daily basis. Yes, to be learning, not to be learning. Yes, to be showing a commitment, a loyalty to the Torah, or to be backtracking on our commitment and our loyalty to the Torah. Yes, to recognize its primacy in our lives, or not to. Let's keep in mind these two images. We don't want to be. We don't want to think of ourselves with a donkey head sticking our face into a trough. We want to think of ourselves as seated at that banquet.